So Noah's whole family was saved because Noah responds to God's divine warning with godly fear. And then he started to prepare an ark. And that behavior condemned that generation for unbelief in God's warning. Now, we go to next one, number C. Example of patriarch, the forefathers in Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God testing Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he answered, Here am I. Then he said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go and land to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering, one of the mountain of which I shall tell you. Here the Bible says God won't test Abraham. God won't test Abraham. Most of you are in high school, right? In high school, do you have midterm? Final? You still have, right? Yeah. Why you need to have midterm and final? You just learn and go home, finish. Why you do need to have a midterm and final? Midterm and final try to decide how much you really learn it, right? How much you understand it, right? Now, you come to so many, TS, NYTS, RHTS, RETS, this TS and that TS, so many, right? Oh, you heard a lot of truth. Now, sometimes God wants to test you. Test you, see, after you attend so many seminars, I believe in Jesus so long, and you listen to the truth so long, right? How much do you really respect me? How much do you really believe in me? Also, sometimes in your practical life, you are going to encounter some question posed by Jesus Christ to test your faith, to test your commitment. To test how much you love God. Right? First, let us think about the conclusion. Did Abraham pass the test? Yes or no? Did Abraham pass the test? Yes, we all agree, right? After Abraham passed the test, what happened? And this story is, you are very familiar. After Abraham passed the test, what happened? Next one. After Abraham passed the test, what happened? Okay. In one word, verse 14. Chapter 22, verse 14. And Abraham called them a place the Lord will provide. Chinese say, Yehuwa Yide, the Lord will provide. You know how wonderful it is, the Lord will provide, right? This is really a blessing, the Lord will provide. But Abraham experienced the Lord will provide on top of Moriah, right? The place he offered his son. That was a blessing he received. He experienced the Lord will provide. Not only that, he experienced God's blessing. The blessing from heaven, the blessing in the world. So, after we pass the test, if you can really pass the test, you will experience the Lord will provide. You will experience God's blessing. So where we are in the test, sometimes it's really difficult, right? You suffer, maybe you cry. You have a lot of struggle in your heart. But if you prove we can pass the test, then blessing is waiting for us. So sooner or later, we are going to facing the test of our faith. Now, what was the test of Abraham? What was the test of Abraham? Give me, over to me, your only son. Right? How come it's so difficult? If Abraham had two sons, right? Even though give one son is very painful, but two sons still okay, right? If give one son, you still have one son, right? If Abraham has only one son, he's still young, he's still okay, right? I give you the son, and I can have the wife can deliver his baby again, maybe 1,000, right? More. But Abraham was very advanced in age. You know, almost impossible, right? Abraham only 100 years old, and his wife more than 100 years old. Have you ever seen a 100 years old woman pregnant? Ever seen that? If a 100 years old look like a pregnant, must have some tumor inside. But no, nobody was pregnant 100 years old, right? So it's impossible for Abraham to have son. So the only one son, your beloved one, if you give to me, that will be the test. Difficult task. Right? So that means what? Loving God is not only feeling, do you know? Loving God has to go through some kind of test. It's not only feeling. Feeding itself is not enough. I always mention one of the incident. It's not very positive, but still, I always think about it. I witnessed a choir practicing the choir presentation. Right? They sing. I forgot which hymn. Either the new song or the hymn book. Jesus Loves Me. They sing so touching. Jesus Loves Me. Right. I forgot which one. Very touching. But after choir practice finished, now it's time for clean up. Everybody run away. This one has excuse. That one has excuse. Everybody run away. 10 minutes ago, you sing Jesus Loves Me. You feel so much touched. But now, how come clean up, everybody run away? Right? So, I love God. It's not only feeling. I love God. You must substantiate your feeling with some kind of substance, right? So no wonder that before you get married, don't be cheated. If somebody are very eloquent, or say, I love you, this and that, give you flower, or you have to think about. If the person really feel by the Holy Spirit, or a member, is more reliable. Even if it's an outsider, your marriage is built on the sand. It's a gamble. Because that love will gone anytime, any moment.
right? So no wonder right now, so right now, the wife had to have a second job, need to have a full-time employee. Why? Because they are not secured. No. So the love must have some kind of what? Not only feeding, some kind of test. And then the next question is, why did Abraham offer his only one son to God according to chapter 22? Do you know the question? Not based on your own feeling. Oh. According to chapter 22, think about the answer. Why did Abraham offer his son? Next one. Jeremy. Huh? Which verse?
12.
Yeah. Chapter 22, verse 12. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. Since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So Abraham offered the beat-up son, right? Because he feared God. Official answer from the biblical is he feared God. Oh. How come? Offer the son has something to do with fear God. As what we say, fear plus respect equal to reverence. If you respect a person very much, right, just like your parents, you respect your parent very much. When your parent asks you something, you will be so willing to do it, right? Out of respect, reverence, you will do it. So if you respect somebody, and somebody's words will carry weight. Oh. So what does it mean to live a life of reverence to God? Which means, according to the example Abraham, you are willing to give up anything God wants you to do. Give up anything to accomplish what God wants you to do. That's show your reverence. Oh. But if you know what God wants you to do and you just don't care about it, you don't want to do it, you don't want to pay attention to it, that means we don't respect God. We have no reverence about God. No. So because of these deeds, so Abraham was considered righteous and blessed. So today, do we really respect God? If we really respect God, then Ten Commandments is Ten Commandments because you show your reverence to God. Ten Commandments is not Ten Suggestions. Oh, right? Because you respect Him. So His words carry weight. Oh, you will do it. So nowadays, Christians emphasize a lot of love. All right, most of Christian denomination emphasize a lot of love. Oh. We know in our church we receive several invitations. The other denomination have some kind of joint evangelical service, and they want to invite us to join their evangelical service. No, oh. And we never join them. Oh. And they always commented, we only emphasize love. In the love of Jesus Christ, we can join together. They don't want to emphasize on doctrine. They just put the doctrine aside. So, but do you know, if we really love, the words of God will carry weight. You will respect God's words, and which is Ten Commandments.
But you look into other denomination, your life, you compare with the Ten Commandments, it's so much difference. Right now, the mainstream denomination, almost they already what? Take away the Seven Commandments. Almost. They take away Seven Commandments. They dare not to mention about Seven Commandments. I know some of the youth are very, had a lot of desire that how come the other church can have mega church, thousands of members, right? How come our church cannot have that kind of size, that kind of congregation? No. You know that the mega church, somebody do the research, they take no stance about sin. And they don't particularly emphasize on particular doctrine. It's just a generalize, as long as you believe in Jesus, believe in Trinity, something like that, and then you can be accepted. So if you go to the mega church, 1,000, 10,000 members, right? You start to preach from every Sunday, right? You preach one commandment. First Sunday, I preach only one God. Second Sunday, I preach no idol. Third Sunday, I preach honor the name of God. Fourth Sunday, I preach keeping Sabbath. The fifth Sunday, I preach what? Honor your parents, right? Six, do not murder. Seven, do not commit adultery. When I preach in that pulpit until the Ten Commandments, how many congregations left? Still remain there. All of them will be there. No. When you preach Ten Commandments, a lot of people feel guilty. They are not coming. You are going to lose a lot of members. Then after the Ten Commandments finish, right? Then you start to preach 10 Articles of Faith. You have to receive Holy Spirit. Speak in tongues, the evidence. You have to receive the right baptism. Full immersion, right? In the name of Jesus. After you preach the 10 Articles of Faith, how many remain in the mega church? Probably only the true seeker. And that true seeker come from true Jesus church. Probably only remain there. All other people gone. So you know so-called the mega church? They don't really emphasize the words of God. If they really emphasize the words of God, they will emphasize 10 commandments. They will emphasize 10 Articles of Faith. And the member will not be too many. Wow. So what the point I try to say is, if we really fear God, you show reverence to God, then the words of God carry weight. And the words of God is the teaching of the Bible. So we have to faithfully to proclaim the teaching of the Bible without discount. That's called you show reverence to God. Right? But right now, they try to please man instead of please God. When a person who try to please man, they will not let the people feel guilty. Because they try to please man. Right? Of course, if we can please man, also please God, that will be the best. But if we please man but cannot please God, what should we do? We should only praise God, right? So Abraham, when God commanded him to do something, he has no reservation. Even his only beloved son. That only beloved son can represent a lot. For most of the Christianity, right, the only beloved son probably can represent their congregation. Right? Are you waiting to sacrifice it? If you are waiting to sacrifice, you offer to God, right? You just do according to what God's will. So this is the way we show our reverence to God. You can try. You can try to do the research. Make our church. Most of them take no stance about sin. The controversial issue, abortion, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, right? This controversial and divorce and remarry, most of them no stance. Why? because they want to keep the congregation. They want to please the congregation. Oh. Okay. So this is an example of Abraham. Fear God, so he obeyed him and offered the beloved son. The end is, not only he did not lose his son, he experienced God prepared a lamb for him. The Lord will prepare. So do you know, in your whole life, out of fearing God, if you know how to offer, right? Keeping his commandment, how to offer, how to give up, you will receive more. If we don't receive more, sometimes because we don't give up. If you give up, you will receive more. So it is more to receive, not blessed to receive than to give. Is that right? It is more blessed to receive than to give. Is that right? Anything feel is right? Raise your hand. Okay. It is more blessed to receive than to give. Is that right? Don't you think it's more blessed to receive? When my birthday, a lot of birthday gifts come there. It's good. When other party birthday, you don't have to give anything. It's no praise, right? Oh. Yours is mine, and mine is still mine. Don't you think it's better? But the teaching of the Bible is not that way, right? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Oh. So when Abraham gave up because he obeyed God's command, he received more than his only beloved son. No. So fear God, you lose nothing. When you show reverence to God, you lose nothing. Don't be afraid to show your reverence to God. Oh, you are going to lose nothing. Okay? The next one. If you turn to page D. Next page. Point D. Now we are going to see living reverence to God in the book of Exodus. First, in the Exodus, you can see God reveal himself. Then, the second, you can see how God responds to men who show no respect to him. How God responds to men who show no reverence to him. But on the other way, you can see those who really show reverence to God, their life was different. The outcome was different. The reason we have to be show reverence to God in our life is because the nature of God is fearful, is powerful. God can hold us accountable, and God is a very loving God. So he deserves our reverence. Now, let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. From verse 1 to 6, we have no time to go through. So one day, Moses was pasturing the sheep, and he passing through a bush on top of the mountain, Horeb, right? In verse 1. And all of a sudden, he saw the fire was burning. The bush was not burnt out. That was a great vision. So verse 3, Moses wanted to go over and witness why the bush was not burnt out. And then God called him from the bush. Say, I am here. Verse 5. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 5. And he said, do not draw near to this place. Take your sandal off your feet. For the place where you stand is holy.
Now, how come every day, all right, Moses passing there, he wears sandal and nothing happened. But today, he had to take off the shoes because today God is there. So that place become holy place. God is fearful, right? Wherever there is God, there is a holy place. Oh, so, you know, to show the reverence to God, what did Abraham do? Of course, he took off the shoes, right? He covered his face because he was afraid of seeing God. Oh. So what does that mean today? Today, if we hold the service in the name of Jesus Christ, two, three person hold the service in the name of Jesus Christ, according to the promise of Jesus, what is going to happen? When you have service in the name of Jesus Christ, what is going to happen? You don't know. According to the teaching of the Bible, you hold the service in the name of Jesus Christ, what is going to happen? Yes, Jesus Christ will be in the middle of us. And Jesus Christ is God, do you know? So sometime, I don't know, during the time of service, you have smartphone, right? Some of the youth are texting around. You are having in the name of Jesus, Jesus in the middle of us. And during the service time, you are texting around. Are you showing the reverence to God? No. No, we should not do that. Right? Or during the time of service, most of churches have Wi-Fi connection, right? You start to surf the website outside. Is that good? No. When the bush there, that appear in there, the fire was there. The fire today can be represented by Holy Spirit. When you pray, Holy Spirit come down means God is here. We have in name service in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ here. We should not. Service time, you serve the website. Outside, nothing to do with the service. You check the Bible, concordant, that's fine. You read the news, the worldly stuff, that's not right, do you know? Oh. So reverence comes from your heart. But once you have a reverence heart, your deeds will be different. Right? Your deeds will be different. Let's look into the book of Ecclesiastes. Talk about what should we do when we come to the temple of God. The book of Ecclesiastes. Can you find out what should we do when we come to the temple of God? Ecclesiastes, which verse? Talk about when we come to the temple of God. Before chapter 9, before chapter 8, before chapter 7, chapter 5. Oh, okay. Verse 1. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God. Right? Walk prudently. And draw near to hear rather than give a sacrifice of fool. That look sentence by sentence, right? Walk prudently. What does that mean? In the chapel, don't run along. Right? When you have small kids, you are a student. In the chapel, don't run around because when this is a place of service, show a reverence to God. Right? In the chapel, we should not talk and shout aloud. Right? Because we have service here. We have to show reverence to God. And in the chapel, we should not talk secular stuff. Because that is the way we show reverence to God. Sometimes, I don't know, my feeling is in our church practice, in the chapel, we don't drink. Only for one reason, or two reasons. The first reason, medical reason.
The second reason is when you speak. When you speak too long, not me, I never drink, right? When you speak too long, you keep on coughing, you need water to what? Oh, to make your voice coming out. Other than this, in the chapel, we should not drink. You know, some of the library, what did they say? No food and no drink. The most messy place is food and drink. Now, let's show this place is a very special location. Show our reverence to God. And the next sentence, chapter 5, verse 1. And draw near to here. One of the signs of reverence is that when you come to the church, sometimes I witness people sit in the... What is the best seat in the church? The best seat in the church. Do you know? In the church, what is the best seat? In the church. You don't know. Every seed is the best seed, right? Anybody has feeling? What is the best seed in the church? Huh? The front. Thank God you're very spiritual. The front. Oh. Do you know some of the people, the best seed is what? The last row. Oh, is the best seed. How come the best seed in the last row? There are few advantage. First, when you are dozing, nobody see it. The second is when you come late, nobody see it. The third is when you want to go out, right? Nobody see it. But do you know nobody see it? Only one see it, what? God. Right. So you look into the chapel, if you conduct a service, the first few row, always the first one being filled up. Oh. But the Bible say, how? When you come to the church, the best way is to what? Come to the front. The best is in the front. No. Why? Because no distraction. You can fully concentrate your mind and listen a lot. So if you really want to learn the teaching of the Bible, please come to the church, sit in the front. Oh, that shows your reverence to God. Because you come here for what? You want to be closer to God. You're not fulfilling some kind of formality, do you know? Oh, so reverence will come in front of God, in front of the church. Oh, right? Oh, there are some other ways, right? When you come to the church, you have to dress decently. Right? There are two children pray around a door. And one of children just take away the door. Another one just put a cross on the door. And both of them are dialoguing. Hey, you know the cross put this kind of cross looks more sexy. 5-6 years old. Oh, the boy and the girl talk about sexy. Oh, so nowadays the boy and girl are not simple minded. Do you know? No. So when you come to the church, put on more decent clothes. Oh, it's not necessary to let God look at you feel sexy. Oh, it's not good. Oh, it's not good. Oh, you know, if you go to the Europe, you want to visit the older chapel, cathedral. If you expose your too much, they will use a black cloth to cover you and before you can go in. Of course, inner heart is the most important, right? I expose myself, but my heart is very, very godly. But do you know, your heart will express in your deeds. So when you come to the church, at least you have to wear decently. That is the way to show your reverence to God. Right? Do you know what the Bible says? If you see the opposite sex, last for you, then what is next? If you see the opposite sex, last for you, what is the next? In your heart, right? Oh, so if you dress too sexy and come to the church, that the brother look at you, last for you, they commit adultery in their sin. But you have sin too, because you caused the person commit adultery. Oh,
Oh, so when we really show our reverence to God, you come to the church, please dress decently. Oh.
Okay, let's come back. Oh. So we talk about Moses when he was in the bush. God appeared in the bush and God said, this is the Holy Land. So today, what does that mean? The Holy Land is when we have the service in the name of Jesus. And that's the Holy Land. God is in the middle of us. God revealed himself in the bush. B, before the Pharaoh, from chapter 4 to 14, God revealed himself before the Pharaoh. How did God reveal himself before the Pharaoh? From chapter 4 to verse 14. How God did God reveal himself before the Pharaoh? How? Next one. Ruth. Oh, you want to read from chapter 4 to 10? Too late. Just from your impression. 4 to 10. How did God reveal himself to Pharaoh? Next one. Catherine? Which one? You don't know. Next one. Esther. Oh, that computer loves you so much. Oh. How did God reveal himself to Pharaoh? You don't know. Oh, there's a very, very famous story in your RE class that has been told so many times. Right. Who knows it? Raise your hand. Okay. Yeah, 10 plagues. Oh, God is invisible. But when Moses talk and Pharaoh refused to listen, then what? 10 plagues. Oh, today, if your parent asks you, oh, don't be all night too long, and you refuse to it, and your eyes swallow. Tomorrow, if your father continues to say, oh, don't watch TV too long, and you refuse to listen, and another eye swallow. I tell you, not even 10 times you are going to obey your father, right? Oh. Because if you disobey, and next day, the Bible, your father say, you can play the ball, but you not play so long, you have to study, and you refuse it, and your leg strained. And you is too, what did I say? Oh. Right. And every time you refuse it, something bad happened. Are you going to listen to your parents? Yes, but the question is your parent is not God. You cannot make it happen. So your parent talk, you don't want to listen. Oh. But God is different. God is authority with authority. And sometimes the parent asks us to do. Maybe the parent don't know what they are saying. Right? But when God wants us to do, God knows what it does and it means. Whatever God wants us to do, that's good for us. Oh. 10 plagues. You see the heart of Pharaoh, so hardened. Oh. So in the book of Major Prophet said the Israelite heart is as hardened as what? Jin Gang Si. What does that mean? The hardest stone. What does that mean? Just like diamond. So hard. Oh. So the relationship between man and God, do you know which one is hardest one? To change God is hardest one, or to change man is hardest one? Think about it. You should have a reason. You quote one verse, and based on the verse, and give the answer. To change God is harder, or to change man is harder? Between the relation between man and God. Next one. To change God is harder, or change man harder? God is almighty. Oh. To change him harder or to change a tiny person is harder. Change by the person is more harder. God is harder, right? Next one. Anthony's. Change us or change God? Okay, next one. Oh, you see a difference, huh? Next one. Kevin. Change whom is harder? Almighty God is harder or a tiny person is harder?
Or you don't know. You don't know. Next one. Derek. Huh? You're harder to change. Oh. Based on what? You must have a base. Change guy is harder, right? Okay. Let's read one verse. Zechariah. Chapter 1. Verse 2. Anybody read aloud? Just like you have no fasting. Anybody read aloud? You. Yes, chapter 1, verse 3.
Therefore, say to them, thus is the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts.
God say, return to me, and then I will return to you. Which one is harder? God was waiting, and God was ready to change. God wanted to return to them, to bless them, to guide them, to what? Be with them. The Almighty God are waiting to return to them. If you return to me. So who is other? Who is other to change? It's human being. The Israelite refused to return. Jeremiah, according to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah spent about 25 years only preach one message. Return to God, otherwise captivity is coming. One message, pray for 25 years. If you come to the church, the preacher preaching the same message, not 25 years, 2 weeks, then what? You are not coming to church, right? So Jeremiah preached 25 years, and Israel refused to return. So you see the human heart is as hard as stone, refused to change. Oh. But God has his own way to make you change. If you refuse to change, God has his own way to make you change. One is soft way, one is hard way. Oh. The hard way is to Pharaoh. How? Plague. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Also Pharaoh, a person who has endurance, right? Is that the virtue of spiritual cultivation? Endurance? When God wants you to change, you refuse to change, you suffer, and you still refuse to change. Is that a good virtue? No. The last one. All the firstborn being killed. And the Pharaoh knows he cannot insist his own way anymore. If he insists his own way more, maybe the next one, his wife will die. Maybe the next one, he himself will die, right? God revealed himself to Pharaoh through 10 plagues. One day, there was a brother who did not come to the church for a long time. One day, the brother came to the church with a, what? What does that mean? You broken your leg, you some kind of cast. Sikao. What does that mean? How to say it? It's a cast, right? Oh, and kneel down. Oh, God, forgive me. I'm praying in front of the chapel. Why? He was working in an electricity company. They are trying to pull down some kind of electrical pole. But I don't know what happened. That electrical pole just fall down and hit his leg and broken. It's supposed not to happen. He was a very experienced worker. But why it happened? Because after that happened, and then what? Oh, he repented and he returned to God. So human being, if we can show reverence to God, be submissive, they were far better being stubborn and beaten up by the Lord Jesus, right? Now, the next one is, before, on the Mount of Sinai, Exodus chapter 19, God made covenant with the Israelites, according to verse 5 to 6, right? If you keep my commandment, I'm going to choose you to be my people. Then, verse 6,
You are going to be my royal priesthood, the holy nation.
So this is a covenant.
But in order to Israelite keep the commandment,
which was given in chapter 20. First time the Ten Commandments was mentioned in chapter 20.
What happened? Chapter 19 from 16 to 25, God appeared on top of the mountain of Sinai. When God appeared on the mountain of Sinai, what happened? Thunder, fire, smoke. Why? That was very terrible, awesome experience. God appeared on the Mount Sinai, just fire, big fire, earthquake, oh, and thunder. Oh, very powerful. Oh, very powerful. So when God appeared so powerful before the Israelites, and Moses gave them 10 commandments, then chapter 20, verse 19, the Israelites were so submissive. Told Moses, please, 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 you tell God, don't talk to us directly. We are afraid we are going all going to die. Just you speak. Whatever you speak, we are going to listen. How come the Israel become so obedient? Because they witness the Almighty God, so powerful, appear on the Mount of Sinai. And this Almighty God, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, never change. So don't you think we have to be obedient to God, show our reverence to God? Yes. He deserves our respect. He deserves our reverence. We are going to continue. That's pretty exciting.